My goal would be give 110% every time I'm in the gym, you know, 100% to my meal plan, everything, go and just see where it takes me. Eventually, I would like to get back on stage.
It's so funny because I never would have wanted that as a goal or even think that that was an obtainable goal for me at the beginning of this, you know, that I would be as strong as even as I currently am right now. I guess, you know, strong is the new sexy.
Meet your host, Andy Naylor. Andy is a men's physique transformation expert, competitive physical champion, and a multi-six-figure business owner who has helped thousands of busy, high-achieving men get into the best shape of their lives and reconnect with their inner alpha. On this show, Andy is going to share with you his playbook on feeling healthy again, avoiding the common pitfalls successful men fall into, dropping 20 to 30 pounds of fat, and building a physique you can finally be proud of. And the transformations aren't just physical either. You're going to learn how meeting your personal goals will help support your professional achievements, giving you that true alpha mentality. Let's go.
Hello, good morning to you too. How are you?
Good morning. Good. Very good.
Excellent. It's been a while since we spoke. I was super happy when I saw the guys let me know that you were intrigued and interested in coming on the show. I was like, oh, cool. So first of all, obviously, thanks for coming on. Yep. Secondly, for anybody who doesn't know you, who might be sort of watching or listening to the show, take a very quick moment just to sort of introduce yourself, and be interesting to know where you both were individually before you decided to join the program, because obviously there's a reason why you're like, yep, we want to do something, we want to find something, there's something we're not happy with or we need to fix. Be interesting for anyone listening or watching to I guess know where that journey started for you and maybe how you were feeling in the sort of maybe years or months leading up to joining.
Well, I'll start, because it was really everything was a volley off of what I've done. So I had some health issues in the first of 23. I had left knee replacement, and then I had cancer surgery, and then I had heart surgery. So I had a couple things, and you and I had been friends on LinkedIn for probably a year, and you've reached out to me before, and this was when before I got my health issues. So I kind of gave you the stiff arm, like I knew what I was doing, and I was convinced of that, right? But during the 2023, I mean, I had gained a lot of weight. I think when we talked in August, I was 325. And yep. You reached out to me and said, hey, how's it going? I went, started chatting. One thing led to another. But Misty was my caregiver during that time. And I kept her I didn't keep her. She neglected to go to the gym. She neglected her health and sacrificed a lot for me. So we had both gained quite a bit of weight. And we started going back to the gym. The things that I had done before weren't working. Now, mind you, I had been working out and training for decades, many decades. So I knew everything about it. Not so much. We'll develop that later on down the line, but I couldn't get started. And that's when you and I started talking. And I was really fascinated, kind of skeptical when we first started.
Of course.
I mean, like anybody, somebody's going to show me how. I've been doing it forever. Andy doesn't know what he's doing. His program is just one of many others. But once we talked and it became apparent that, we needed Andy, Nader body design in our life. So if Misty wants to add in on that.
Yeah. I mean, just kind of to bounce off of some of the stuff that he talked about was, with all the medical stuff, that he was facing, I felt guilty for leaving him at home, if I was to go to the gym, and he's not able to. And so therefore I just kind of become complacent with hanging out on the couch and binge watching TV. I mean, cause that was pretty much all that he could do. And so that's what I started to do too. And so I just kind of fell into this cycle of just eating crap and watching crap on TV and just become super lazy and then all the things that come along with that, low self-esteem because, you're gaining weight, you're lazy, there's no motivation really to do anything because, again, there's not really a whole lot that I can do without not feeling guilty because he's not able to do it too. And so that's just whenever we started, chatting with you in August, that was one of the things that I was personally ready to gain back was, you know, some of that self-confidence and some motivation, you know, just to kind of get going on the right path again.
Yeah, I think what your program brought was like some, what we needed was accountability. And yep. And it wasn't just to, because I'm accountability to her. I'm accountable to her. She is to me, but not really. I mean, she's not going to force me. There's no skin in the game.
The little interesting analogy I give here, and there's loads of interesting things you just said. So, Misty, I remember you absolutely saying at the beginning, like, I've not been doing anything because he can't do anything, so I feel guilty. I remember you, that's like struck a chord. As soon as you've said that again, I'm like, I remember you saying that. It was the situation. It's not even unfair on either of you, is it? Like, it's just the situation that you found yourself in that neither of you would have chosen. But also, I think I'm right when I say this, but I can only say this from personal experience. I don't think spouses, husbands and wives, whatever you want, I don't think they can hold each other accountable. They can support each other. Now, my example would be this. This is my personal. If I had said to my wife, Jo, hey, Jo, do you think you want to stick to your meal plan? She would be like, I don't know, Andy. Do I need to stick to my meal plan? That's the end of that conversation, isn't it? Like, that's it done. I can support and say, do you want me to make one of the meals off your meal plan or something? Like, I'm happy to do it. Like, that's a different way around going the same thing. But ultimately, we have, we've been together 26 years, married for near on 10. We have a different relationship. And importantly, but I think between husbands and wives, that original relationship should be sacred and looked after and nurtured. Well, the moment we're trying to hold each other accountable to fitness regimes and losing, it is a different thing. So we say, I mean, the success that couples have when they come into the program is exponential. And I probably said this to you when I spoke to you both one of the points. And it always rings true. Couples that come in and just have the desire and the want and are coachable, they will come in and they will hyper-succeed. Not because they're holding each other accountable, but they both know what's expected of each other because they're both doing something very similar, but there is then support. So if one person's not feeling it today, the other person kind of picks them up. So there's like support, but that's not accountability. So you're absolutely right. So so we now know where you were and how you were feeling. And also the other thing you picked up on, which is I think everybody should be skeptical at the beginning because I think that means we're sort of going into something with our headlamps on, you know, and I'm someone that you've just seen online and we should be cautious and skeptical of just the people we meet online because are they the people that we think they are? And, you know, we still have people kind of get up to a point where they're like, I've only really just met you and I don't know who you are. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's like how every relationship starts, by two people not knowing each other. Basically, that's how every sort of, you know, not just a coach relationship, but that's how people get to know each other. I didn't know you, and then suddenly I know you, and that's how. But I think you're right to be, you know, skeptical. And, you know, I don't really look out there online to see how many other people are out there coaching and what they're doing. I pay basically absolutely no attention. I just focus on what we do and how we can improve. So I don't really kind of get to see it because I don't follow other coaches and I don't really keep an eye on that. I'm just we're in our lane and we just improve what we're doing. But I imagine the individuals who are out there looking for help are possibly easily bombarded with all sorts, even you know, probably on social media platforms where it maybe wasn't so popular. Like, I mean, if I go and spend any time on Instagram, it's like every fitness influencer on the planet is on there, and fair play to them. But if I was then an individual looking for that sort of help, I'd be like, who on earth am I supposed to trust out of this lot? I haven't got a clue. So that's one of the most challenging things for us, is to somehow try and get across authenticity about what we do, credibility about what we do. It's not like I'm saying like, here, look, here's the pen. This is what you're going to get. Like, it's a thing. I can show it to you. We can only try and express, well, the result that you're trying to achieve, we're confident we can help you get it. It's like, it's quite an intangible thing to be able to say to somebody. Like I also probably said to you in that second call, we're only ever going to take people to that part of the conversation if we actually truly believe we can help them. So by the time I know I'm having that presentation with someone, I'm pretty damn sure, like, if they just do what we tell them to do and, you know, stick to it, off we're going to go. So all the credit to you. So now to think back, you've just come in and you've been supplied with your initial plans and you're sitting there looking at them. Like, what was sort of the initial maybe first weeks like for you both? Because suddenly you've got some plans in place and some structure. How did it feel at the very beginning part? Because I think it's always interesting to know what it feels like right at the start.
For me, that getting used to eating the same thing, like the meal plan, for example, I mean, I've never, you know, been consistently eating, you know, the same thing, you know, for dinner, for breakfast, for lunch. And so whenever I first got that initial meal plan, you know, I was kind of like, I'm going to give it a try. But, you know, I just at that point in time, trying to think of, you know, futuristically me keeping up with, you know, maintaining that, I didn't think that I would be able to do that because I've never done it before. And mm-hmm. so it was
a bit daunting.
The meal plan
maybe.
Probably is the most challenging thing was to get used to in that first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think mine was more believing or trusting in my trainer. I mean, Ash, he gave me a workout plan. I'm used to a different type thing, just like you mentioned earlier. You know, there's all kinds of a myriad of training programs that you can copy and use and assimilate into your program. So what I was doing and what he had suggested were night and day. And I think it's fair to say, and Ash and I have had this conversation before, I really didn't 100% trust that he had my interest at heart. And then the key point was we started down the meal plan and I started gaining weight, not losing weight. And I went, crap, we're going the wrong way. And then Ash goes, listen, just stick to the plan, and your body has to adjust. It has to, you know, figure out what you're eating, has to figure out what you're doing. And then okay, cool. So I jumped in the pool. I wasn't sticking my finger, my toe in or nothing. I jumped straight in. I have nothing but trust and for Ash.
He's the boy wonder, isn't he? We call him the boy wonder because
he's incredible. It's funny you had mentioned, you know, the different programs that people use and stuff like that. We go to the gym now, and I'm maybe a little hypercritical on what I see trainers in my gym doing to their colleagues. I mean, there was a young lady, first time in the gym, and this guy's making her work out to failure. I'm sitting there going, she's gonna have a miserable experience in her first time in the gym. She's gonna think this is what it's about. I'm gonna feel sore for a week or so. I don't want anything from it. It drives people away from it. So I don't think I really had a sore day, but you know, once I get to the point, he changes the program. I was 325. When I weighed this morning, I was 262.
It's like 40 pounds, something? 40 pounds?
No, that's almost 60 pounds.
What? You're supposed to be 60 odd pounds down?
Yeah.
In how long? It's not been that long, has it?
August 2nd is when I weighed 325.
We started with...
But when we started, I was 309.
We started
August.
End of August. So I guess I'm giving, you know, 18 pounds credit to you.
Yeah, you're motoring along. Like, and I think, and you said a couple of things that are important, which is most people come in, certainly, and you've come in with a history of training. And we get this a lot where someone will say to us, Andy, I've been an athlete all my life. I know my way around the gym. And I'm like, I'm sure you do. Absolutely sure you do. But you're still not where you want to be. So there's a problem. So something ain't working, so allow us to fix it. But it's hard, because if someone just came along and said to me, I'm going to make you train a completely different way, there's going to be like but I like the way that I train. Now, I might like it, but is it getting me a result? They're two different things. So to be, let's say, more time experienced in the gym, and then for someone to come along and be like, no, scrap all that, we're going to do this, and for it initially to send you in the wrong direction, of course alarm bells go off, absolutely. But all the credit to you, because what you've done is you've put your trust in someone, because that person, like, as cliche as this sounds, your results are our results. That's it. Like if you think about it, and that then that's the company level. But then of course, really, it's even probably more important from a coach, because that's a person. That coach is like, I have these people's health and wellness in my hands. And we take that as seriously as we possibly could. So even though, and of course, like, you know, Ash is probably, and all of us, we'd be sitting there going, oh, okay, like probably wasn't expecting to see weight go up, but we've done the maths, we've worked out the plan, we know that all things considered, this is going to be the right thing. And of course, if it had continued going the wrong way, then we just, okay, cool, that's not a problem. We now have some data. We've now got some, right, now we just start to dial a couple of things. Because what we're doing is coming into someone's life with, like, really no history. We've got like, ground zero, start one, date, like, day one, and then it's moved forward. But I think really what's important is the credit to you to kind of go, all right, like, I'm in, man, I'm trusting you, because then you've got your rewards off the back of it. That's super important.
The one thing that Ash did fix, and I guess what I was most reluctant to let go of, was my form. I sacrificed form for weight, you know, thinking, you know, people are going to see a big guy like me not doing any weight. But my form, I Ash goes, send me videos of what you're doing. I didn't send videos. I didn't try videos. I know what I'm doing. I sent him videos and he goes, no, do your shoulders hurt? And I went, yeah. And he goes, listen, here's what you do. So everything that I do, any movement that I do, I send videos to Ash and he critiques it and gives me feedback. The thing that I've learned is to accept that as positive feedback. Before, you know, I'd be like, you know, who's this guy? He don't know what he's doing, but he does. He's a very, very gifted trainer.
There's an ego thing in that, isn't it? Like we all like,
I generally think.
So here's the interesting thing. I think women are generally more open to having that feedback. Men are not. Like generally speaking, like if a dude has been training and has been a collegiate athlete and yada yada yada, they think they know. Now the reality is what most people do is they go to a gym or a training environment. They watch other people and copy them. Which means the skill of training around the world is shocking and like technically shocking. I can think of many training videos that I've seen, which a few are popping into my mind, not disrespectfully, but where I'm watching someone and I'm recording the screen and I'm like, do not ever do this again. And here are the reasons why. If you would like to keep your spine, this is what's going to, like, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, but I'm like, my job is to keep people safe and our job as a company is to keep people safe and healthy while they're, you know, while they're with us. And more often than not, we can turn around and go, cool, you're putting in all the effort, because what guys are like, put in all the effort and it's like max effort form down here. Women are the other way. They're normally slightly less effort, but they'll be hyper focused on form and making sure they're moving. Like that, you mix the two together and like that's like women should train a bit more like men and men should train a bit more like women. If you think about it, in other words, guys should stop thinking that weight is the be all and end all, because it really isn't. I mean, I'm 45. I could lift way heavier stuff 10 years ago, but I can add more muscle now at 45 lifting left weights and do it properly. Easy. Like it's like a door opens and you kind of go, I get it. And sometimes that takes a while. But it's not, the loading is important. The amount of weight we lift, yes, is important, but we've got other variables. We've got frequency, we've got intensity, we've got execution, exercise selection, exercise order. There's loads of little things that we can play with, because we're only ever going to lift so much weight as a human. There are limits. Like we're not, you know, like that's it. And also, you know, you've been walking around with surgeries and things and stuff going on. So how about get more progress out of less weight and then be able to train forever? Like, I think that sounds like a, you know, more of a reasonable goal. Misty, how did you find the training aspect? Tell me about your experiences with that part.
For the training, I've had some, not decades. I mean, for me, because I'm not old enough to be for that. Anyway, but I've had...
Wow.
Quite a bit.
Misty, that was subtle. But we all know what you were saying there.
Anyway, just kind of off and on, you know, been in the gym, been out of the gym, you know, and I've followed, you know, different programs in the past, you know, but at the same time, it's just been just the program. I haven't had like the one-on-one, you know, actual coaching experience. You know, it's just, you know, like a follow along training program. And so I've done those in the past, but I've never challenged myself as far as with weight. You know, I've always kind of had in my head, you know, that I'm a girl, I don't need, you know, a whole lot of weight, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so with this program, I've kind of completely, it's almost been like a 180. I've really challenged myself, kind of going back to what you're talking about with, you know, with females and form and weight and things like that. I mean, yes, I really try to, you know, focus on form first and foremost, because I don't want, you know, to have injuries from the gym. Mm-hmm. But with weight, I really have challenged myself to not be afraid of pushing. And so that's one of the things that I really like about with Ash is that with this program that I've been doing, I mean, from one of the movements, I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, I had shot him a message and said, you know, that what used to be my max is now my warm up, you know, and it's just completely mind boggling because I never thought that I would be using that amount of weight just as a simple warm up. And so that's one of the things that I've really enjoyed the most so far is that the strength that I've gained and one of the things that I'm probably most proud of, and I'm not there yet, but it's definitely, I'm a lot closer than what I was when I first started. I've never been able to do push-ups. My upper body strength has been like a big fat goose egg. I've never been able to do a pull-up, much less a push-up. And so one of the things that he had challenged me once I had told him that is to start doing, one of the things he had on my program for workout was box push-ups. And so I had tried that. I tried box push-ups. I sent him a video and he, you know, told me that, you know, I needed to work on my form, which I did because my arms, you know, were flaring it like that because that's how I thought you were supposed to do a push-up.
So rather than this... You're actually doing it way more difficult. That's like super difficult that way. Yeah, yeah.
And so he had told me to start if it's difficult for me, you know, to do a push up, you know, at an incline on a box, you know, to start with a wall. And so I started trying with the wall and sent him a video, and it was awkward. And I did it, but I wasn't doing it right. You know, my form was off. And so anyway, I worked on that, and I'm like, you know what? I am going to get these freaking push-ups, you know, they're not going to kick my ass, you know? And so I was determined to do freaking push-ups, and he had actually shared a video, I think on the client Facebook not long ago of kind of like a progression video of me struggling, you know, with the wall push-ups to doing, I think what was five,
six.
It was five. It was a few, not very many, but of me actually doing box push-ups at that point in time, you know, that was a huge accomplishment for me, you know, from going to the wall and to doing being able to do that. And then now I'm currently, he's got me on the floor doing flat push-ups. And as of this week, Tuesday, I've been able to do eight in one set correctly. And so it's like,
is that eight on toes or on knees?
On toes.
Oh, like, my goodness. That's genuine, insane.
I mean, just straight up push up. And I'm just ecstatic because, like I said, you know, at August, whenever I first started, I mean, I couldn't even do it, you know. And
that's
so
a big deal. Like, so it is. I mean, so and the progression, the way Ash has regressed, like the regress is not a great word, but made it easier because we would then go, okay, so the first thing is wall push-ups, because what you can do is you can start by basically standing here and you can start to like lean yourself further away from the wall. Then there's going to get to a point where your hands are going to slip down the wall. So it's like, okay, now get on a box. So it's like basically all we're doing is just bringing your angle down. And then all of a sudden, did you do a few on your knees? Did he take you to knees or did you go straight?
No, not the knees. It's always been straight on the toes. And so it's
big progress.
Yeah.
And these are like, so for females, these are two common things. Pull-ups, push-ups. Women are like, I've never been able to do that. Like, also, if you try and watch me do a pull-up, it's like a worm like wriggling around on a hook. Like, I've never been able to do them. And technically, as a movement, in terms of a muscle-building movement, they're pretty much rubbish. Like, they're not great. But it's kind of one of those calisthenics movements where it's like body weight. We should be able to do it. Like, there's a lot of benefit in that sort of stuff. But that's great progression. It's not easy. Like, women inherently find those sorts of movements particularly difficult. So that's. So you did how many? Eight, did you say?
Eight in one set so far.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get to 10.
Obviously, double figures, right? Yeah, double figures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then it'll be three.
Then the goal is three sets of double figures. Like that's then you're like Jedi. Then you're Jedi.
Yeah, I've only been able to do eight in one set. I think it was Tuesday when I did. I did eight one set, six the second set, and three one set. So I'm getting
That's
there.
Great.
I'm determined to be able to do, you know, three sets of 10 is what I'm, and then, more.
technically you've done the worst bit, which is getting down to that position. Like you, that would be the most daunting, because going from like you're standing there pushing up against the wall, thinking, I ain't never making it to the floor. So really, you've overcome a massive milestone just by getting to flat. Now it's just a technicality of time, and just time that will now get you to the point where you can do. If you do 8, 6, and a 4, then even if like what you might find that happens is the first set you might now do a 9, and then maybe still a 6 and a 4. Then it's maybe a 9, a 7, and a 4. Then maybe it's 10, 7, and 4. In other words, each one will go up, up, up. Like you'll kind of staircase. They won't just all go up together. You'll normally progress the first set quicker. Why? Because you're fresh. So that one will get to 10. You might even find that before the last one gets to 10, the first set's got to 15. You know, because that first set will have to be somewhere up here for the last set. So that's,
oh yeah,
man, that's super cool.
Alphas, I interrupt this show with a simple message. This show is here to benefit you and your progression to the best version of yourself. But not only just you, it's also here to benefit the people around you, your loved ones, your friends, other alphas in your vicinity. So why not do a really cool thing today? Something that I would thank you for, and maybe someone else would. Share this podcast with at least one other alpha out there who you know would benefit from it. Why not share the information, share the ability for someone else to grow? I'm sure they would thank you. I 100% would absolutely thank you. This podcast only grows by our listeners, our followers doing amazing things like giving us 5-star reviews, downloading podcasts, subscribing, and then of course sharing it with other people. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Share it with one person, and of course drop us a 5-star review, download the podcast, and of course subscribe. And now back to the show.
And in terms of, I mean, other key areas that we focus on, and it'd be lovely to hear if you've had any experiences of this. Obviously, you know, we always try to help improve sleep, reduce stress. Have there been any areas in your life, you know, maybe outside of the obvious physical changes that you've maybe noticed any positive impacts?
Energy.
Yeah, energy.
A lot more energy. And sleep.
Yeah, sleep's been. Yeah, I mean, so he's got us on the STEP program as well. 8,000 steps a day, and plus the workout, and then the meals, and you know, then I work around the house. We live on 7 acres of land, and so attending to that, and then everything else. By the time it's bedtime, I mean, I'm racked. I'm done. I'm absolutely done. I hit the pillow and I'm out. And yeah. I think she's the same way. But you know, wake up energized, ready to go for the next day, and it's on.
Perfect. Sleep is definitely one of those areas that, well, if we're working hard and our body is making progress, we can only make progress at the rate our body can recover from it. So therefore, sleep then plays a massive, you know, massive role in that. And you know, many of the people we work with, their sleep is disrupted, stress is high. So that's great. And then obviously, you know, in terms of the accountability, which I think you said right at the very start was something that you guys know that you needed or you were looking for. But what would you say have been the major takeaways in terms of having Ash, you know, someone there, I guess, on, you know, like literally on the journey with you, side by side with you? Like what's been your experiences and takeaways from that?
I think that's just it, Andy. It's a journey. You know, you never reach Shangri-La. You know, you're always striving for it. And I think that's what Ash brings to the table is some, you know, the accountability, but it also drives a behavior change, and it gets ingrained into you, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to do. Say, for instance, yesterday I did legs, and you know, the last set, the fifth set was going to be a burnout. So low weight, real slow, 15 up and down. And I said, oh man, I'm sweating. I'm wanting to get through this as quickly as possible. But you know, I started thinking to myself, get the most of what you're doing, because you're only going to be able to do it. You know, you're here. You might as well get the most of it. So I don't speed through it. It just kind of makes me sit back and take stock of everything, what we're doing, and execute it best as I can. I mean, actually, he's turned me into kind of like a trainer, and I'm gonna plug me being a North America trainer for you. I don't know if he's dropped you a line or not.
You could, dude. You can try out for us, no problem.
Yeah. Well, he wanted me to show Misty how to do what was it? An exercise and the leg raises, the inverted inclined leg raises. Anyway, and I sent him a video, and he goes, she did it absolutely perfect. was like, yeah, I need to be on your payroll.
The interesting thing is the moment we learn more when we can teach it to others. There's like some technicality. Yeah. Phrase is teacher learns most, I think, is like that. So I know if ever I learn something new, I then try and teach it to someone else, because one, I have to have a better understanding of it if I'm going to teach it to someone. And then also it seems to like lodge it in your mind, because I don't know. There must be some psychological reason why, but I know if someone told me how to get somewhere, and then the next person I met asked me, how to get to the same place, and if I can then tell them, I'm not going to forget now how to get to this. Like it's as simple as that. So, that's awesome, and that's another reason why whenever couples come in, it works really well, because also I think, to my knowledge, when we'll always try and do this, unless there's a reason not to, any couple that come in will always have the same coach, unless there's some kind of reason why not to. Because then there's like that, what's happening is that coach is then overseeing everything. Like although they're working with people as two individuals completely, different plans, different this, different that, what they're actually doing though is overseeing the whole thing. Because then they're like, if this person's like really going to drive off and they're going to drop calories, they might get a bit hungry, a bit cranky, a bit this, a bit that. I'm going to need to be aware of that, how that affects the other person. So like it's a different picture when we work with two people together, because we can kind of, to a degree, nearly use the other person as a support while that person's pushing off and doing this. And if this person is struggling, not that we would ever tell the other person what we're doing, because we still treat each individual as an individual and privately, but we're able to, it's like managing a football team. Like you're kind of maneuvering things to try and, get the most and the best and the most for each individual, which is, it makes it a really exciting sort of challenge for us. And what's now ahead of you guys? So looking forward, obviously, you've obviously made great progress. You've settled in, you're absolutely cracking on. Misty, what would you say, like, if you've got goals, like numbers, goals set in front of you, you've got particular things that you're still going after, trying to achieve?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, because Ash and I were just talking about that just a few days ago, because, at the beginning of this, we set goals, of what we want to achieve in this program, and so kind of round numbers, we had to say, what our goal weight was, and I'm almost to that first initial goal weight. And so Ash was asking me, basically what I thought, if I am going to be happy when I reach that, or kind of what the plan is. And so I'm only probably 10 pounds away from what I initially said that I wanted to weigh. So, cause I'm close to, I've just hit the 30 pound mark down. And so I started out at, I started at like 185, and I'm like, right, I've been kind of dancing around 154, 155. So I've, hit that, 30 pound mark. And so my goal weight at the beginning was 145. And so that's, plus or minus, a couple pounds, but, basically 10 pounds. And so, I've made, tremendous progress up to this point, but, kind of thinking futuristically, it's only 10 pounds, and I, from a physical look, standpoint, I don't, and I told Ash this, I really don't think that I'm going to be satisfied once I hit that 145, there's still more fat and more weight, that I can lose, and so I kind of am going to, he suggested that, once I get to that point, that we kind of reevaluate, maybe go 5 pounds, from there until I am happy with whatever, but the strength portion of it, and again, it's so funny, because I never would have wanted that as a goal, or even think that that was an obtainable goal for me at the beginning of this, that I would be as strong as even as I currently am right now, but I guess strong is the new sexy. And so
there's a bunch of cool stuff in there. So first of all, 30 odd pounds down, 10 from your your original goal is now in it. A couple of things. One, theoretically your original goal is inevitable. But the one thing I always say to someone is, and this is the analogy I use is, if you imagine a marathon runner, and as they, if they're running towards, or anyone, like think of a runner running on a track, like quite often when they know they've won the race, what do? They slow up as they get to the finish line. And I use the analogy that when someone is getting close to their goal, they need to not do that, because then what happens is people shoot and they just slightly miss their goal. So although I wouldn't tell you anything, because Ashley's coaching you and you listen to what he tells you, sometimes when someone's getting close to their goal, before they've got there, I tell them to pick another goal further, because really in my mind I want to make sure they tick off that first goal 100%. So in other words, I'm like, I now push the horizon to, dude, like 145 is going to happen. Let's make it 140. Let's just get to that. So then the goal is 140. So the original goal is then not guaranteed, but then it's like I've got more chance of happening, because mm-hmm. quite often people will get very close and they'll ease up at the end. And then what happens is they ease up and they see they've missed the goal. What happens? Easing up becomes going backwards very quickly. Mm-hmm. So well done. And also the number on the scale becomes irrelevant, doesn't it? It's how you look, how you feel, how you perform. Those things, exactly. a scale can't tell you those. Obviously the scale has told you progress and it's kept you focused, and that's the only thing it's there to do. It's not there to tell you if you succeeded. Only you know that. So well done. And also the strength thing is awesome. Like I think most women would come in and go, I'm not really bothered about strength. And I would then say, I get that. That's understandable. But strength is healthy. Oh, why is that? Well, women struggle with osteoporosis far more than men. So brittle, you know, bones. So, you know, I remember I can think of elderly women. I can even think of my nan. I think she fell over. I think she definitely fell over and broke a hip at some point. Like, so certainly for women like in, you know, 70s and 80s and up there, if they fall over and break a hip, that's life threatening. Because it can be so much more damaging for females. Now, whether or not, I don't actually know the answer to this, whether it's or not, it's just something due to, generally speaking, women are going to lift less heavier stuff than men. So therefore, men's bones are put under more tension through their lives. Therefore, they're stronger. There'll be some of that and just the genetic difference between men and women. But therefore, then, well, it makes more sense that women would go off and lift heavy stuff to protect themselves from something that they know is going to be happening later down the road, which... we would all go, yeah, like that's 70s and 80s, man. That's like miles away. I'll think about that later. Later never comes. So well done. And I think certainly another thing about building strength, which is therefore, you know, inherently adding muscle as well. Well, when someone adds muscle and they lose body fat, that's toning. That's all toning is. When someone's like, oh, I want to be more toned, it's like, okay, go off and add muscle and drop fat. Oh, I'm not sure about adding muscle. It's like, well, you're not toning then. You're just dropping fat. So, and then also... strong skeletal muscles therefore mean stronger joints, because our muscles cross joints. That's how we move stuff. So if we've got stronger joints, therefore what we're going to be more able and mobile as we age. So like it's ticking off loads of little boxes along the way. So like I'm super super pumped for you. And Jeff, what's ahead of you, man? Like how far are you going?
You know, it's funny, in 23, just like Misty, we set goals and you know there were numbers associated with it. And I told Ash, you know, in January when he asked what my 24 goals were, and I told him, I said, yeah, I don't want to be constrained by a goal. I want to, my goal would be give 110% every time I'm in the gym, be, you know, 100% to my meal plan, everything, go and just see where it takes me. Eventually, you know, I would like to get back on stage and you know, see how that turns. And I'm making strides for that. She's laughing, but I told Ash this, people at the gym, one guy calls me MapQuest, because on the days when I have some kind of arm exercise, I'm very vascular, and it's funny that I wasn't like that, but now I am. So, I mean, I just don't want to be constrained by a number or just like you said, it's an indicator, right? That's all it is, an indicator to tell you that you're, the things you're doing are positive and they're making an impact.
Yeah. It's how you look, how you feel, how you perform, and those things. Well, you said it a moment ago. What did you say? Chasing Shangri-La. Like it's chasing something that we know that we never get to. But I think this is a wider thing, because humans are extremely good at this. I'll be happy when.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be happy when I'm an adult. I'll be happy when I can drive a car. I'll be happy when I have a partner. I'll be happy when I've bought my own house. I'll be happy when I have that job. That thing never happens. The moment we get something, like most of us are like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I'll be happy when this. So one, we never, this is like a bigger subject, but one, we never give ourselves permission to be happy along the journey, and then the bloody journey's over at some point and we were never happy. It's like, well, just give ourselves permission. And then secondly, we should be always striving towards something, aiming for something. And I don't think that should ever stop. The thing will change and the goal will change, and that's fine.
That's right.
But the moment you take a pursuit, a reason for a human to get up and go and do something, they're stuffed. And you can see this in people that, like, the typical retirement, like someone works to 65 and retires and then does nothing. And what they do is, it doesn't happen so much anymore. A few decades back, I think, someone would retire and they're like, I'm retired now, I'll just sit on the sofa and watch telly. And the decline is rapid. Because if a human hasn't got something to do, a purpose to get up, one, they become depressed, they become weak, they become ill, they die quickly. So I think having some sort of, you've got acres of land, you're going to be busy forever. Lucky you. you've got that to be looking after forever, right?
I think the words that I never have exited my mouth, and that was through my military career, and you know what I've done is I wonder if, you know, I wonder if I would have done this, what would happen? They never exit my mouth because I push everything, you know, to its fullest, and if I don't make it, it's not because of a what if, as I did it, and I did the best, I got to where I could, and that was it.
Because the next phrase after I wonder if is I regret didn't doing that. And that's
right.
A bad thing.
Yes, that's
because,
right.
Because there's – so regret is one of those things. So here's a – like, we go through life making lots of yes-no decisions and saying yes to opportunities and no to others. And eventually there will be some opportunities, like getting back in the shape of our life and, you know, fixing health. Eventually that opportunity is taken from us through illness, injury, or age, eventually. Now, and sometimes I use this analogy when I'm trying to help people work out whether they want to do something or not. I'm like, okay. Right. Let's imagine, it's a weird analogy, so come with me. Let's imagine you're literally laying there on your deathbed. All right. So you're there at the end, you're on your deathbed, and you know you're on your deathbed, and you know you've got 5 minutes left. And you were the type of person that was like, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow. Like, that's how you lived your life. Okay. You get to the end, you've got 5 minutes left, and one person comes in to have a 5-minute conversation with you. And it's the version of you that did all the stuff that you said you should have done. Now, you get to have a 5-minute conversation with the version of you that was your potential. Could you imagine how profound that would be? Like, literally, it's the thing, that's the thought that that helps me just get up and keep going, get up and keep going. Because the idea of getting to the end, wherever that end may be, and none of us know when that is anyway, and being like, oh, damn, I wish I had have done that. I can't imagine anything worse. I'd rather have done everything, made a mess of a lot of it, made 100 mistakes, and got to the end and went, oh, well, I gave everything a shot. I was all right at some stuff, and I balls a load of other stuff up. Like, I would far rather, as long as you don't hurt, and, you know, as long as you're not hurting other people along the way, you know, I think, yes, we might regret a decision we take that really worked out badly, but we can only then therefore go, oh, well, you know, there was a lesson in there, and at least I learned the lesson, you know? But anyway, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. It's been so cool. I'm so happy to see the progress you've made. You've come in and absolutely slayed it from an initial skeptical point, which I think is absolutely normal. You've come in and you've done really the only one thing that we need you to do, which is trust. And all the power to you. You've done that, and you obviously you've slayed goals. You're continuing to slay and move forward. So look, thanks for, you know, taking some time out. I know you guys are busy, so I'm going to let you get on. But, you know, thanks for taking some time out to come and talk to me. It's an absolute pleasure to see you making progress. And, you know, and I hear from Ash, obviously, you know, regularly how well you're doing. So I've been pretty close to your journey, you know, watching from the sidelines and cheering and clapping along the way. But it's just super nice to catch up back with you again and sort of hear it from you guys. So anyway, listen, I'm going to let you go about your day. To the both of you, thank you very much. I will keep watching, and who knows, we may do this again. And, you know, maybe Jeff, when you're standing back on stage and you're sitting there with a trophy, hey, we might just do this again. Misty's like, my goodness, and Andy, shut up. Right, on that note, I'm going to let you go about your day, guys. Thank you so much. Go and have a wonderful day. I'm sure I'll get to speak to you soon again at some point. All right.
Yes, Andy. Thank you. Bye bye.
Yes. Take care. Bye bye.
Cheers.
Thanks so much for listening to today's show. We hope that you feel motivated to start making changes in your life so you can see those results that you've been wanting to achieve. Remember, you can do anything you set your mind to. If you love the show, please leave us a 5-star review and make sure you tell your friends. If you'd like to connect with Andy, you can find him on Instagram at Andy_Naylor_Pure_Elite_Pro. I'll leave a link in the show notes as well. Talk to you again soon.